This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. There's less than a month to go before April 15th, the deadline to file income tax returns. And this year, Congress promises to consider changes in the tax law, not just close a loophole over here and open another one over there, but a fundamental reconsideration of the whole idea. Some argue that the federal government should tax not what we earn, but what we spend. Others say the income tax should be flat, the same rate for rich and poor. Opponents contend that our taxes are not progressive enough, that the better off should be asked to pay even higher rates than they do now. As this debate gets underway, it's instructive to look to Europe, where strikingly different tax systems are in use. Sweden and Norway, for example, two of the richest countries in the world, use a steeply progressive income tax where those who make more pay more. Estonia and Russia, on the other hand, have adopted a flat tax system and have seen their economies grow. In Europe, anyway, the tax reform debate seems to be tipping towards the flat or maybe sometimes just a flatter tax. So as we consider tax reforms, what can we learn from how they do it there? Later in the program, some new methods to hound tax cheats back into the fold and your letters. But first, tax reforms and the European models. If you filed taxes overseas, was that system simpler, more complicated, or just different? Would you say it was fairer? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. You can also call if you have questions about proposed reforms in this country and whether there are any helpful analogies overseas. Again, the number is 800-989-8255. And joining us now is Jeffrey Owens, head of the Center for Tax Policy and Administration, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. He's with us from the BBC studios in Paris. And welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Niels.
Is there generally a different philosophy to taxation in Europe than here in the U.S.?
No, I think, in fact, you know, you look right throughout the 30 OECD member countries, and it's basically they have the same philosophy as regards taxation. There are differences in the emphasis that is placed on progressivity, and important differences in the overall tax burden. Amongst our member countries, on average, about 36% of GDP is taken in taxes. In the United States, it's 25%. So, in that sense, you know, the United States is rather a low tax country compared with other developed countries.
Now, our income tax system has loads of exemptions in it. I mean, for example, the real biggie is that anybody who owns a house gets to write off the mortgage, the interest on their mortgage, which is a substantial tax break. European tax systems have the same things?
Yes, the U.S. is not unique in that respect. In fact, almost all of countries provide some types of provisions, favorable provisions for home ownership.
And so there are all kinds of exemptions in their policies as well. Remind us, what's the difference between a flat tax and a progressive one?
Yeah, I think, in fact, there's a lot of confusion about flat taxes. To me, the essential thing about the flat taxes that you find in places like Russia and Slovakia is that there is one positive rate of tax. I mean, in Slovakia, it's a 19% rate. So in that sense, you don't have a progressive schedule with a number of tax brackets. There's just one bracket and one rate.
So, and a progressive rate would mean if you pay, I'm just picking numbers out of a hat here, if you make $50,000 a year, you pay 10%. If you make $100,000, it's 20%.
It's a little more complicated than that, Niels, because you have to look at, you know, what's the effective tax rate that is paid at each level of income. So in the example of Slovakia, for example, it's a 19% rate, but because the way they define the tax base, they still end up with a progressive tax. So I think it's very important not to say, you know, flat tax equals non-progressivity. No, you can have a flat tax and at the same time still have a progressive rate.
Mm-hmm. Is it a coincidence that the countries that seem to be experimenting with these flat taxes seem to come from the old Soviet bloc?
Well, I think they have more opportunities. You know, when you come out of one system, you look around, you ask, in fact, what do you need for your economy? So it is countries like Russia and Slovakia that has been taking the lead here. But again, I mean, there's nothing magic about a flat rate. There are many OECD countries, in fact, that now have scheduled rates of tax that are perhaps two to three brackets. So that's the general direction of change. You went back sort of 10 years ago in Europe, you would find tax brackets that ran up to 5, 10, 10 brackets. I mean, even today in Luxembourg, you have 18 brackets. But the general trend has been to reduce the number of brackets. Why? Because that it eliminates some tax-induced distortions, and it makes the system somewhat simpler.
And when you're talking about the brackets, again, as opposed to having a rate from $60,000 to $65,000, it might be a rate from $50,000 to $70,000.
Yeah, and in fact, again, you know, if you take a historical perspective, I mean, you know, at one point the United Kingdom had something like 14 rates, and the top marginal tax rate was 90%. Now that's quite a lot of money. You know, if you see that, you know, 90 cents in the dollar is going to the taxman,
I think the Beatles may have written a song about that. In fact, yes.
They did. That's why it was so famous, and that's perhaps why it was changed as well. Yes.
Yes. So, in general, are tax rates, as you're saying, higher in European countries than in the United States?
I think the overall tax burden is much higher here. When you look at income taxes, for the majority of European countries, in fact, their income taxes, both on the personal side and the corporate side, are lower than in the US. That's the contradiction that you have in the United States. On the one side, you know, you are a low tax economy, but on the other side, when you look at the income tax, the rates that you have are relatively high, particularly in the area of corporate income taxes. Now, these are all nominal rates. They're the scheduled rates. When you have to get from them to the effective rates, then you have to look at some of the things you mentioned, Niels, on loopholes, use of tax shells. I mean, all these are techniques that can be used to reduce your effective tax rate.
Also, in this country, you're likely to pay taxes not just to the federal government, but to the government of the state in which you live, and often to the government of the municipality in which you live. Again, is that similar in Europe?
Yes, and particularly in some of the federal countries that we have here, like, you know, Switzerland and Germany, or in your neighbor, Canada, for example. Almost all of these federal countries, they'll have different type of taxes at different levels of government.
As we discuss tax reform in the United States, we're trying to find out what we may be able to learn about different tax systems in use in other parts of the world. We're talking about the wealthier countries in the world, the OECD countries. And with us is Jeffrey Owen, the head of the Organization for Economic Cooperation at the OECD. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email TOTN at NPR.org. And Bruce joins us. Bruce is calling from Peters Valley in New Jersey.
Hi, Neil.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great program.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just wanting to just make an observation on the discussion today. I've lived in two different countries, New Zealand and on the island of Borneo in Malaysia, and paid taxes in both countries because I was teaching at universities.
Mm-hmm.
And New Zealand had a double bracket, somewhat similar to what the gentleman is talking about there, where if you earned up to $25,000 a year, you paid 25% of your income. And then above that, you paid 35%. And I believe that applied to the corporations as well. I could be wrong, but...
Yeah.
And then in Malaysia, I believe it was a three-bracket sort of system there.
Mm-hmm.
And in the New Zealand bracket, in the New Zealand tax area, I paid the higher level, teaching at university, and in Borneo, I paid the second highest bracket.
And what was it like mechanically? I mean, was it the same as here? You fill out your form, you mail it in?
The mechanics were very different. The mechanics in both countries were far simpler. They involved, in the case of both countries, a small piece of paper, half of an 8.5 by 11, so 4-inch by, you know, 6-inch size paper that you filled out, and it had a copy, you know, triplicate type of situation. And in Borneo, it was a little bit larger, 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, and that was it.
So, Jeffrey Owens, it sounds like filing taxes in some places is a lot easier than it is in this country.
I think that's probably a fair comment. I mean, you know, what we see is that many countries are trying to move away from a situation where the vast majority of taxpayers have to complete a tax return. I mean, if you live in Denmark, for example, what happens there is that the government takes information from the banks, from financial institutions, from your employer, from the government, yes? It puts all this information together in your tax return, calculates the amount of tax that is due, sends the tax return to you, and the only thing you have to do is sign at the bottom line, if you're in agreement, of course.
Yes.
It goes back to the tax authorities, and then they adjust, you know, if you've overpaid, they'll adjust that, or if you've underpaid, they'll adjust that. a very simple process. It works very effectively. 90% of Danish taxpayers, in fact, never have to do anything other than just sign the bottom line.
It sounds like Danish post offices might be empty come April the 15th.
I think it's not quite a dramatic event as it is in the United States, this sort of tax filing day, yes?
Mm-hmm. So, Bruce, did you get money back from either of these places?
Sure.
And did it arrive in good time?
It did. It arrived in very good time. And as far as if a person is teaching for a government agency like an institution like I was, or if a person is an entrepreneur, the entrepreneur would have perhaps an extra piece of paper to be putting, you know, filling in the blanks as to what they've earned and where those earnings have come from and what their outgo is. But even that was much, much simpler than what we have here.
Can I come in there, Niels, because I think this New Zealand is interesting, in fact, because, you know, we at the OECD, we always hold New Zealand up as a model, yes?
Yes.
It's got, you know, low rates and a broad base, simple administration, a nice balance between consumption taxes and income taxes. So if anything, I think, you know, as the U.S. goes through this process of tax reform, you couldn't do worse than have a look at what New Zealand is doing.
Hmm. All right, Bruce. Well,
Neil, the last comment I'd like to make is I think the important thing is that in both countries, my observation at least, was that people felt that the tax system was fair across the board, as far as it could be, and there wasn't the resentment, there weren't the arguments and so forth that are so evident here.
Okay, thanks for the phone call and the observation, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your program.
It does strike me, Jeffrey Owens, that neither Denmark, as you describe it, nor perhaps New Zealand has a H&R Block, a preparer is ready to do your tax returns for you.
Well, as I said, I mean, in many of these countries, in fact, you don't need the tax return, you can just do it yourself.
What a revolutionary idea.
It's a revolution, but it works. Yes, it works.
We're looking at different tax systems around the world and if they might have any benefits or deficiencies that might we might apply to the conversation that we're about to have in this country about reforms in the tax process. If you've encountered a tax system you think might make sense in this country, give us a phone call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. Back after the break. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Congress has begun to float ideas about changes to the tax code before any concrete plan finds its way to the table. We want to see what we can learn from how others do it. We're talking about tax systems around the globe, flat taxes, VAT taxes, you name it. If you've encountered a tax system you think might work in the U.S. or one you definitely would not like to see here, our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. Our guest is Jeffrey Owens, head of the OECD's Center for Tax Policy and Administration. He's with us from the BBC studios in Paris. And joining us now is Mart Laar, the former Prime Minister of Estonia, currently a member of that country's parliament, and he joins us from his home in Estonia. Thanks very much for being with us this evening.
Hello.
As I understand it, you brought the flat tax system to Estonia. Why?
Actually, it was fair. It was effective. It increased our income. It's easy to collect, easy to pay. So it's a very working system. And it encouraged people to work more and to earn more.
What did you have before, and why was the change necessary?
We had not so progressive as in some other European countries, but we had quite progressive system with the highest rate on the 50%, and it was a big mess. So there was quite big problems to collect it. The people avoided the taxes because it's easier to avoid the progressive taxation. There was not such of wish to work more or earn more, because if you earn more, you move to the next level, and it means that you were taxed more.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of problems with this, and so we decided to just to have a simpler, more effective, and more fair system. have a thing that's worked now more than 10 years, and a lot of countries have followed this.
And
Europe.
What's been the effect of the flat tax on the economy in Estonia?
Well, in Estonia, it was a very positive effect. Well, we got out of the economic crisis, not thanks for the tax reform, but tax reform played its role in it. So completely down as we started, our economy was going down. We had huge unemployment and so on, huge deficit. So we get rid of all of this. So we encourage people to work, to take care for themselves, and they did it very well. And the tax system has been one part of the Estonian success, and it has copied largely in foreign countries now. So it's moving around to Europe.
And are countries coming to Estonia to look and see how you do it, asking for advice?
Yes. No, a lot of countries have been interested. So soon, some 5 years ago, we gave the advice to the Russia to introduce the flat rate tax, and they have done it quite successfully. And now the last country just a month ago was Romania.
And I just wonder if you could tell us, what was the tax burden? I mean, what percentage of a typical Estonian's income was paid to income tax before, and what now?
On the average level, it was approximately 36. And so we decreased in on 26, and now we are decreasing it to the 20.
And does that cut out all of the exemptions? In other words, you can't...
Yes, we cut out exemptions.
So there's no...
It's the family exemption on the children. So if you have the more children, then you can include them to the tax.
But there's no exemption if, for example...
And there is a limit, below limit. If you are not having a lot of income, then you are not paying taxes at all, because that's no idea to waste the state money to collect the taxes of people who are actually not having very much money.
But if you borrow money to buy a house, you still must pay taxes.
That's in this moment is exempted too, but we will see how long we will keep it, because that's not the problem anymore. It was a problem in the first years of the reforms, but not anymore. So it probably will be moved away.
Matt Lahr, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate your time today. Matt,
thank you. Bye.
Matt Lahr is former Prime Minister of Estonia and a member of the Estonian Parliament, and joined us from his home there. And Jeffrey Owens, as you listen to him, other countries coming to Estonia looking for advice. And Jeffrey Owens' line to Paris, is it still there?
Yes, sorry, yes.
Ah, no, there we are.
I think, in fact, yeah, I mean... It's I know there are a lot of countries that are interested in the Estonian experience. You know, I think one thing that's important about this flat tax debate is that you shouldn't just focus on the rate of taxes, because every country that has gone down this road has, at the same time as they've reduced the rates, have broadened the tax basis. And we heard from Mats in Estonia, you know, all these loopholes, special provision, special deals, they've gone, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And it's that combination of, you know, a relatively low rate combined with a very wide tax base, that's where you get, if you like, the attractions of this system, the fairness, the simplicity, the removal of tax-induced distortions. If you just move to the flat rate and you don't do anything about the base, you're not achieving very much.
Mm-hmm. Let's get some more callers on the line. And Michael's with us from Oakland, California.
Hello.
Hi.
I just want to say I certainly would not like the flat tax in the United States. It is a boon to the wealthy. Let's say it's 10%. Somebody making $1 million a year would pay $100,000. Somebody paying $50,000 a year would pay $5,000. And the $5,000 from the lower income earner would affect his life much more than the $100,000 from the person who earns $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the upper tax brackets own the greater assets to protect in the United States. And we have a whole army to protect the greater assets. Since all the people are being protected, they're the ones that should be paying the money to protect those assets.
Jeffrey Owens, we hear this argument a lot in this country about the flat tax. It simply isn't fair.
Well, as I said, I mean, you can have a flat tax that is progressive. It all depends on the design features, and in particular, how you define the tax base. But, you know, I think when you're looking at trying to get to some view on the progressivity of a tax, I think you've got to put it in a context. You have to put the income tax in the context of the whole tax system, and then ask the question, is that tax system overall, is that progressive, yes? And some would even argue you've got to go beyond that, and you've got to look at what happens on the expenditure side and ask, well, are government expenditures, in fact, benefiting more the poor people than the rich people? So at the end of the day, it's the whole system. That's what you should be concerned about when you talk about progressivity.
So terminology, Michael, not all that important.
I'm saying that the people in the army are usually the poor. They're protecting the most of the assets of the wealthy, and the real wealthy should pay more to have those assets protected.
Okay, Michael.
Well, you know, there's an interesting statistic, I think, that's come out of the U.S. recently that shows that something like more than 50% of the income tax is paid by the top 5% of income earners. The U.S. system is, it's pretty progressive in comparison with other OECD countries. I think, clearly when you look at, I'm talking about the personal income tax here. Mm-hmm. When you look at the corporate income tax, the U.S. corporate income tax rate is just below 40%. The average OECD corporate income tax rate is just above 30%, yes? Mm-hmm. So in that sense, the U.S. rate is quite high. Now, when you look at those nominal rates, you also have to take into account how much is actually paid. And there you encounter these problems of tax shelters, the various tax planning devices, things like transfer pricing that corporations have at their disposal to reduce their tax burden. And that's why I think it's very important when we're talking about fairness. One of the best things that any government can do to ensure fairness is to ensure that taxpayers pay the taxes that have been legislated for by their governments. So compliance is extremely important. Good compliance, you need to have a fair tax system.
And a simple tax system would also encourage compliance, no?
A simple tax system certainly makes it easier for the taxpayer to comply. But I think we have to be realistic, Niels. The reality is that it's very hard to have a simple tax system in a complex modern economy. And you also have to ask, where did all the complexity come from? It came from the legislation.
If people are
serious about simplifying the tax system, you have to simplify the tasks that are given to the tax administration. You have to simplify the policy that lies behind the legislation. Then you'll get some real simplicity.
Hmm. Well, joining us now to talk about how tax works in his country of Sweden is Gunnar Hökmark, a member of the European Parliament. And he joins us from the Jolly Hotel in Brussels in Belgium. Thanks very much for being with us this evening.
Thank you very much. I'm here.
The Swedish tax system is progressive. Is that correct?
Yes, it's a very progressive system.
And what is the top rate?
The top rate is 57%.
57%. So the highest earners in Sweden, the heads of IKEA, they pay 57%.
Well, no, because they normally avoid that tax.
Ah,
so that's the problem I heard from your discussion about the fairness of the system. My simple view is that the more complicated system you have, the less fair it will be in the end. And that's the result if you're looking at Sweden or other European countries. The real high income takers can normally always avoid a complex system, while a flat tax system is much more easy, much more simple, is much more crucial and much more difficult to avoid for those who are having big incomes.
Are people in Sweden discussing having a flat or flatter tax?
No, you can't say that. We haven't come that far. But we have the discussion in Europe. We have a lot of European countries now moving forward towards flat tax, not the least our neighbors in the Baltic countries, Estonia, for example. They have very successfully introduced a flat tax, and they have a booming economy and increasing tax incomes, and the fact that everyone pays tax, even if you have very high incomes and normally could avoid it in another country.
Sweden is often used as an example of a country where there are very high taxes, but there are also very strong social services. Do Swedes consider that they get value for their tax dollar?
No, well, in reason to be fair, I'm not sharing that view because my view, and I think that is the view of most Swedes, we don't get the currency for the money, so to say. We don't get the value for the money. We don't get the social services we pay for in spite of the fact that we are paying the highest taxes in the world. But the big problem is that since the 70s, we have decreased regarding or relating to other countries. We were at the top in the beginning of the 70s. Nowadays, we are in the middle of the European Union nations.
Are they catching up to you, or are you going back to them?
Well, it's both sides, and I think it's good if they are catching up with us. But the problem is that we have had, if we're looking back the last 20 years, for example, substantial lower growth than other countries. And I think that one of the reasons is the progressive tax system. It hinders new enterprises, and it hinders people to try to achieve a higher education.
yet would people worry that the social benefits that they get in the tax system, that they might be threatened under a flatter tax?
Yes, of course people think so, because every change is, of course, a risk. But what you really see in those countries who have introduced flat tax, you have seen an increasing tax revenue. So it's not the fact that you get less tax revenues, but you get better and higher tax revenues, and not the erosion of the economical mechanism in the society. So I think a flat tax is a good thing, and I think it will come out more and more in Europe as well as in the U.S.
Gunnar Hökmark, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Gunnar Hökmark, member of the European Parliament. He holds a seat on the Committee on Economic and Monetary Affairs and joined us from the Jolly Hotel in Brussels, Belgium. We're talking about tax reform in Europe and maybe someday here. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. And this is Martin. Martin's calling from Lakewood, Ohio.
Hi. I come from Ireland, where there's no property taxes at all, but high sales tax. And that's one good spot, because it doesn't matter if you get your money legally or illegally. The minute you spend it, you're a drug dealer or a drug baron or whatever you do to get your money, you'll get taxed there.
And you say sales tax. If memory serves, they have in Ireland a value-added tax.
Yeah, that.
Jeffrey
Owens. I don't mind that.
Yeah, no, I was just going to ask Jeffrey Owens briefly to describe the difference between sales tax and value-added tax.
Yeah, I mean, you have both are basically taxes on consumption. I think the distinguishing feature is that, you know, under a sales tax, you pay in the tax, you know, at each point in the production chain. So it's a cumulative tax. And at the end, it means it doesn't just fall on the final consumer. Under the value-added tax, what would typically happen would be that, you know, as one firm sells on products to another firm, it would in fact charge tax to that firm. But the firm that pays the tax can then claim that back. So if you like, there's a whole system of balancing checks there that mean that the firms can claim their input tax. They then have to pay tax on their output. But it's only the difference between the input and the output taxes that they end up by paying to government. I think the attractive thing about a VAT is that this builds into the sort of a self-checking mechanism. And what we've seen in the OECD over the last sort of 15 years is this enormous movement away from sales taxes to value-added taxes. So today, in fact, of the 30 OECD member countries, it's only the United States that has a VAT. And in fact, when you look around the world, it's something like 136 countries that now have a VAT, a very powerful source of revenue. In the OECD area, accounts for about 18% of total tax revenue. It's not a foolproof tax. You always have the problem of countering tax evasion. But it is a tax that does seem to be able to raise large amount of revenues at a relatively low cost.
Martin, getting back to income tax, when you first saw the American 1040 form you had to file, what did you think?
It's very complex, but I have my own business started off now, so I just got an accountant, and that's the way I'm going to have to be from now on out.
And if you'd started,
every country has one thing in common with taxes: the people don't want to pay them.
I think that's probably true,
but that's why you have to make it as easy as possible. I mean, I say, you know, if you like, the function of any tax administration, it's to get good compliance. How do you get good compliance? You've got to provide a good service to the taxpayer, so that, you know, taxpayers like Martin that want to pay the right tax at the right time, that they can do so with the least pain possible. But the other side of the coin is you have to make sure that those people that want to, the dishonest taxpayers that want to shift their taxes onto the honest taxpayers, that they have a high risk of getting caught, and if they are caught, they're subject to penalties. So you've got to get that balance between service and enforcement if you're going to get good compliance.
So, Martin, you've hired an accountant.
Yes, I have.
Well, good luck to you and to your accountant.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And Jeffrey Owens, as we just have a few seconds with you left, but as the United States embarks on this national conversation about different kinds of taxation, what would you say, if you had to give a piece of advice, what would you say we should keep our eyes on?
Well, I think is, you know, don't try to reinvent the wheel. There's nothing new in the tax world. Look at other countries' experience. See what's succeeded. See what's failed. Draw on that experience. And I think that's the best way. You can't experiment in a country, but you can experiment by looking at the experience of other countries. So my advice is look at what is happening in other countries. What's succeeded? What hasn't succeeded?
Jeffrey Owens, thank you very much for your time.
That's a pleasure.
Jeffrey Owens heads the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development Center for Tax Policy and Administration, and he was with us today from the BBC studios in Paris. For all the different methods governments find to tax the public, they all share the same concern with making sure they collect that money. After the break, we'll hear about some novel enforcement techniques. Public humiliation, anyone? I'll be back after the break. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.